Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I was gonna say see you, but I don't actually know if this counts as, seeing you. I mean, I've been to your place, and I know you don't actually look anything like this weird, staticky cloud thing. Not really. What am I saying? You'd think I'd know better than to question all of this. Our entire dynamic has been defined by breaking down a very shaky fourth wall. You're obviously you, and I shouldn't be spending this kind of time and energy trying to figure out this unexplainable thing that's going on here. A thing, to be fair, that does come along with a certain amount of existential dread, which brings into question the very fabric of reality. So, I'm gonna go ahead and stop myself now before this overfilled cup ends up splashing off the proverbial table and onto the floor. As you can probably tell, it's been days. Two long days. You'd probably think that since I spent, 150-ish years all by my lonesome, that I'd be okay with spending a couple more of them on my own. Right? Wrong. Dead wrong. Correction. Undead wrong, which is kind of another thing entirely, isn't it? I mean, I can't really use expressions like dying and dead without a general sense of on-the-nose irony anymore. Or at least a sly little side wink to the camera that doesn't exist. Phrasing, Hannah. Just remember phrasing. Oh, save me, listener. I'm going out of control. The power of the ramble has taken over. It's eclipsed my life, or my unlife, whatever. The ramble has become me. This needs to be a hard stop. We can't do this for the next 20 minutes, can we? Can we? No, I mean, no, not if we both want to make it out of this with something that even resembles a sane grasp on sanity. Words are hard. Words are so hard. Okay, let's just count down from five together and regroup. All right. Five. Four. Three, two, one. Whew. Okay, we did it. So, yeah. We kind of left off on a pretty awkward place last time, didn't we? I know we agreed as far as, honoring Callie's whole... you suck, listener, and I'm gonna go chill in my super secret hideout and be hot and brooding all by myself. Request, but you didn't actually go along with that, did you? Oh, or you did. I'm kind of surprised is all. I mean, you've been kind of nosy in the past. That sounds really bad, but I mean it in a good way, really. It's a good nosy. I like your nose. It's a great nose from what I remember. As far as noses go... Okay, I'm sorry. Jeez, I didn't mean anything by it. I'm worried is all. 50 years in a relationship hasn't exactly made me any better at actually being in one, which, I should remind you, is something I was already historically terrible at in general. And I say historically because I'm pretty sure I'm the worst at them in the entire expanse of recorded history. Kelly makes it feel easy, but underneath the surface, classic duck feet, paddling away in pure panic. Same old Hannah, overthinking and second-guessing pretty much everything I say and do, and now you get to be front and center for the exact kind of intrusive thought show that used to keep me up all night. Except now, I don't even sleep, so there's no actual end to this. It's worth mentioning that 50 years pretty much flew by for me in a lot of ways. I mean, time was pretty meaningless even before I met Callie, but I'm not sure if I've said this before. It sounds impossible, even to me, but I still get butterflies in my stomach when she comes home every day. And I know it sounds really cheesy and honestly kind of a contradiction in and of itself, but I feel wildly safe when she wraps her arms around me. Like I'm a storm in a bottle, able to be what I am, and that's okay. To just be, in general. I'm treasured and wanted and taken care of despite the damage I'm capable of, or how utterly broken I feel pretty much all of the time. We enjoy each other's company and discover new things about each other every day. It's crazy, but we do. And saying all of that, I still somehow manage to suck at a lot of this stuff, even when it should be foolproof. I need Mel. She always was good for the proverbial kick in the shorts.
You know, hun, what you need right now is some soup.
I can't freak out when I have a mouthful of soup, or something like that. Which might seem wise, except really, she just wanted a soup enabler, and we both knew it. But it wasn't just any soup, listener. I mean, she wanted the kind that cost $10 a bowl. And you know what? It was worth it, because it was delicious. And suddenly, I wasn't thinking about women, and how frustrating girlfriends can be, and how awful I am at this stuff anymore. I miss soup. I miss Mel. Oh, this sucks. Wait. Are you about to do that thing again? No. Come on, I'm not done ramble venting yet. Please come back. Oh, shoot!
Well, hell. It's you. So cool that you're here. In my fortress of solitude. Solitude you've gone and broken. Which means it's not a fortress of solitude anymore. It's a fortress of solitude plus one. Fucking massive downgrade. I mean, by its very nature, if there is a plus one, then is it even a fortress of solitude anymore? Philosophical question of a lifetime. Pretty wicked, though. Oh, I love it. I love it that you're here. Uninvited. Can't say I'm surprised, though. I mean, it's been, what, 2 whole days? Oh, almost to the hour. No more, no less. Wouldn't dare expect any more time than exactly what I asked for, right? Yeah, I am right. Thanks. Boy, I must have taken some colossal restraint. I mean, how did it feel? You know, not getting to barge into someone's life whenever you feel like it. Hey, lighten up, I'm joking. Kind of. Or maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm joking in the way that a mob boss in the movie does right before things get cold and he puts you on ice. Gives you the old Russian necktie. Or maybe it's supposed to be a Colombian necktie. Either way, it's real bad. Oh, keep it together, Callie. Let's go ahead and call it like it is. The Scout's Road book always said that when you get lost, it's always good to take a minute, look at the coordinates, map things out. So, We have to figure out exactly how we get to move on from here. Plan a route back to some degree of normalcy. Looking at the facts, when it comes down to it, you're an ever-present literal cloud over our lives. One that comes along with the package deal that is my girlfriend, whether I like it or not. But I've had a couple days to think it over, about how things in that argument went down. And you know what? I may have been a little unfair. Which doesn't mean you're off the hook. Far from it, actually. But what I'm saying is that maybe we can start again. And this time, set some better ground rules, boundaries. Huh? What do you think? Like, don't get me wrong here, am I pissed off at you for what you did back there to Hannah? Fuck yeah. How I scope it, there's no getting around that. She's been through a ton. Enough shit to sink a boat. And not that I think her life is a shit boat, but you get what I mean. I could probably spend actual fucking lifetimes unpacking the things she's gone through. One of the results of all that trauma, as an armchair psychologist, is that she has a pretty big problem with disappointing people. You, me, anybody really. She'll do just about anything she can to avoid pushing us away. And that goes double for you. Even if that means letting you hurt her, be it on purpose or not, that's the power you have over her. You need to recognize and realize that before we get back to having fun, we need to get this straight. That what happened can't happen again, okay? It can't. Not like that. Great. Good talk. So, as long as we're 5x5 with that little stipulation, then I'm cool with you. But remember, some sort of gross necktie. Capiche? Eight ball. Corner pocket. I always feel like Baby Ruth when I do this. Or Babe Ruth? I don't know. She's the one that used to call her shots, right? The baseball player, I think? Point it into the stands and put the ball there. Whatever, whoever she was, I think we can agree that's pretty damn hot. Shit! Oh, you kidding me right now? Well, that's game, I guess. Typical, I'm the best at beating me. There's nobody better. So, what you been saying about me?
You know, I've never actually been to her, well, I was gonna call it her girl cave, but that just sounds like another phrasing situation waiting to happen. But that doesn't change the fact that I'm still not allowed in the supposed Fortress of Solitude, or whatever. Is it a Fortress of Solitude, or is it a Fortress of Solitude plus one, Hannah? What's that supposed to mean, anyway? It doesn't even make sense! Like, it literally doesn't stop being the Fortress of Solitude if you have a visitor come over once, or even once in a while! Which actually did happen, canonically, right? I mean, I might be off in the lore, and we are obviously getting into huge nerd territory here, but Clark brought Lois Lane there! I'm pretty sure he did that multiple times, actually! And it didn't suddenly stop being what it was! Its status isn't based on the number of occupants in it at any given time! It's just a place of solitude! I mean, come on! I'm your Lois Lane, Callie! Clark, let me in!
I'll bet she was talking about this place, wasn't she? Oh, hell of a spot. She's always trying to get an invite. It's not gonna happen, Hannah. No zombies allowed. Even the girlfriend kind. I mean, can you imagine what she'd do to this place? It'd get wrecked. I mean, have you seen our house? Zombies ripping random things off the wall is why we can't have nice things. And if you're into ancient history, you know, they used to call this little piece of heaven the Underpass, back when this was still Golden Gate. The idea was probably based on old speakeasies. You'd come here to get away from all the weirdness and rules we had to deal with all the time. If you were a misfit, you could belong here. Take a load off. Be gay. Read outlawed comics. Smoke Mary Jane. Play board games that aren't Monopoly. All of it at the same time. Scandalous, right? The entrance is right up those stairs there, behind a shelf in old Maggie's bakery. It used to be a spiritual second home to me before I took up scouting and got the hell away from this place. Since coming back, I kind of made it my actual home away from home. Real estate's pretty cheap around here these days for obvious reasons, so I had my pick of the litter as long as I didn't displace any of the remaining citizens. That would be an asshole thing to do, considering the circumstances. Fortunate that zombies don't need pubs anymore. So I got to making this place my own. Surrounded myself with a bunch of my favorite stuff. Oh, they had some really kick-ass loot locked away in the vault, too. So the underpass became my refuge, a second time for different but weirdly similar reasons. I mean, don't get me wrong, I fucking love Hannah. I love being around her and sharing my life with her. Whew, didn't see that coming 50 years ago when I picked her up in old Michigan. No idea that there was this amazing girl locked up in that head of hers. But things can sometimes be a lot with the whole thought-sharing thing. It can be really hard to figure out where she ends and I begin sometimes. Look, I don't know anything about you, but maybe you can relate a bit. If you've ever been in a relationship, you probably know that there are some days you just need a little space, right? You love being around your person, but sometimes you don't want to be around anyone. So you go into another room, read a book or watch a movie on your own. Be your own kind of company. Well, imagine you're trying to do that, but while you're reading, you suddenly get someone's internal monologue in your head. Let's say it's about something like missing pancakes in the morning. Cool, great. Except that monologue is like, it's like a train running over your own thoughts without even realizing they were there in the first place. Like some kids stepping on a bunch of ants by mistake when they were playing. And you know, it's not malicious. They didn't mean to do it. They didn't know the ants were there, living their little ant lives. But it doesn't stop there. No, now you want pancakes too. But not really. You already ate, or maybe you don't even like pancakes in the first place. But fuck you, that's all you can think about and it's in your head now. Before you know it, you're in the kitchen digging into a stack of those things while internally having a meltdown about it, wondering how you even knew to make pancakes in the first place, or that pancakes are a pain in the ass to make in the wasteland and you had plans for those supplies. True story, by the way. That happened last week. Which is why I go out to the bridge sometimes. Or alternatively, come here and pretend I'm good at pool. That would be so easy to be mad about it if I knew she wasn't trying her best. Earnestly, she's always being careful not to run away with her thoughts or lose control. You and me, we both have the unique perspective of knowing how hard that is for Hannah. She's still a human up in that head of hers, and human beings don't get to be perfect all the time. We have wants, needs, and sometimes we need pancakes, I guess. It'd be hilarious if it wasn't simultaneously so fucking horrifying. Still, it's a price I gladly pay. Because she's worth it. Yeah, that's something that might be confusing. How this works, at least for me. See, you got here at a pretty weird time and brought some big complications along for the ride. A destabilizing force in a touchy ecosystem. Because our relationship is pretty great overall. Usually. She's fun, giving, smart, and so adorably awkward. Physical intimacy is obviously pretty lacking, but honestly, that's fine with me. It's not a problem. I don't think I've ever been the most available that way anyway. It's not always awesome. I still have needs, but it's not a deal breaker. We're complete in other ways. I guess that's a long way of explaining how important and tenuous the balance I'm playing with here really is. My happiness hinges on diving headlong into a good thing, while knowing I'm gonna have to come up for air long enough to breathe before going under and doing it all over again. This relationship being great doesn't make it easy. We've grown over the years, but we haven't changed all that much. And that's something I'm still dealing with in my own way. Maybe you can help with that. I guess we're gonna find out.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
I just love when a plan comes together. And this one really came together, didn't it?
You look quite pleased with yourself.
Is it that obvious?
I'd say so. I mean, you left a couple of hints along the way.
Oh. I suppose I did.
Damn shame, too. If I was still alive, I might even enjoy the view.
Yes, I suppose that is a shame. Who would have even guessed there'd be a hot tub in a backwoods podunk settlement like this anyway? If I'd have known, let's just say my suitcase would have been a little heavier after my yacht incident. But that's another story, I suppose. Now this, right here, this is a pretty lucky thing. And I'm just as equally lucky that there isn't a man alive to spoil my fun, is there?
Pretty sure if there were a man still alive, they couldn't give a damn about a skinny-dipping sociopath. Sorry if that sounds disappointing. I'm known to be a bubble burster at times.
Oh, are you sure this bubble needs to be burst, though? Are you sure there isn't a man somewhere lurking in your heart or soul or whatever? Maybe you'd be willing to join me? Sure is lonely in here.
Oh, I bet it is.
And after all that talk about how hot-blooded you are, kinda got me wondering if everything's still in working order.
Wish I could guarantee that, darling, but nope. Those days are over. Dead and gone.
I think I could find a good necrophilia joke in there somewhere. But for now, I guess I'll just have to be my own company. You know, out of all the drinks in the world, my first choice would not be a whiskey. But the mayor of this backwater certainly enjoyed himself some old-fashioned, old-world splendor. Looking around, I think he must have been a collector or a connoisseur. Good taste. All in all, I think this is an auspicious beginning to our arrangement. You know, I do think I could get used to this.
Yeah, I bet you could. And how long do you think you'll be enjoying the fruits of your labor here?
Oh, who's to say? I mean, there's still so much left to enjoy. It is mind-blowing what some people decide to squirrel away and...
You know, it's real mind-blowing just how much of a fucking nerve you have. I'm just gonna go ahead and say it. You bore the fuck out of me. And I'm starting to get real sick and tired of this pathetic little deal we got going on here. I don't think this deal's gonna work out after all. Because frankly, a couple of hours ain't worth all this standing around, taking orders from some nobody mutant.
Excuse me?
You heard me. I'm done here. I'm taking the kids and I'm going. Because this ain't working out. Sorry to say, but fuck this. With all the earnesty in my heart, fuck.
Wait. No. I mean, Rector, what are you even talking about?
I mean that I know what you're playing at, girl. And I don't exactly like being played that way. I'm not stupid. I'm dead, but not stupid. I'm backing out.
Well, no one said anything about your intelligence,
listen,
Rector.
No, listen. I'm done. I don't want to hear it. I
you
know
can't just
bullshitters.
Back out now. You can't
yes, I
back
can.
Out.
I
we
can
had an agreement.
I don't care about your agreement. I don't care. I don't fucking care. We had an agreement. But you know what? Nowhere in that agreement said I had to uphold the bullshit. It's a damn fine thing every deal I've ever been a part of only lasts till death do you part. And as you know well, I'm already pretty damn part.
We had a deal.
Oh, put that thing away. What the hell are you doing? Look at yourself. You look ridiculous.
Do not test me, Rector.
Or what? What, are you gonna shoot me? How do you think this is gonna go down? You gonna put a hole in me? Go right ahead. Take your best.
Well, how about that?
I
suppose this means you mean business, huh?
And I will mean business again.
Ooh. This is what gets my blood boiling these days. This is what makes me feel alive again.
You want to feel alive?
Go on,
you
want to
feel
again.
Alive again?
Yeah.
Get back here and talk
I'm
to
serious.
Me, or I will make you feel as
alive
as
you've
ever
shot.
Been
I
in your
see
entire
you do that again.
Life.
See if you can get my heart.
Will
I'll move
you
around a little bit.
Shut.
I can wiggle. You can get it. It's like a little target practice.
Fuck it, and fuck you too. Look at you. You act so tough, but without me, you're nothing. You're pathetic. You'd still be wandering around out there, tripping over yourself, looking after your stupid children. And what do they have to rely on? Nothing but their idiotic, hot-headed, stupid,
oh, really?
Spineless,
oh, really?
Dickless leader.
Oh, hold on now. I never said I didn't have no dick. Just because it don't work don't mean I'm dickless. Don't you?
Same difference, big man. You can talk about this all you want. But do you really think you're the only act in this town? Absolutely not. You just happen to be the most mobile.
Oh, what the hell is that supposed to mean? What, you expect me to believe there's another horde like this roaming around? Someone else running their own fucking circus with their own goddamn bear corpse? Because that just ain't true.
Richter, did you honestly think you were the only one? Did you think in all of the world that you would be the last horde remaining? What would ever make you think that?
Probably because I'm the last fucking horde remaining. I've been there. I started this whole fucking thing. I was there since the apocalypse fucking began. I am the apocalypse. I started this fucking thing.
I am the apocalypse. Is that who you think you are?
Yeah.
You started this whole thing? You think you're patient fucking zero?
Well,
is that really who you think you are?
All right, maybe I'm not. But it was a mistake. I let my guard down, trusting my dumbass to inbred sidekick. That fucking kid stabbed me in the back, and if it wasn't for me, he'd have been dead as his daddy. And the thanks I fucking get, on account of a bleeding heart for some dumb bitch and her pet zombie. Some little fucked up dynamic duo on the way to Golden Gate. Never thought that's how I'd ever...
Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh, that's funny. That's... Oh, that's actually hilarious.
Wow. What do you mean? Why? Why is that funny?
Oh, holy
what are you laughing
shit.
About?
Oh, now this is a plot twist.
Would you stop laughing and answer me, goddammit? What the hell are you talking about? You better start talking. I'll come over there. I don't care if my legs don't work. I'll come over there. I'll choke the hell out of you.
Stop, stop. That's enough. You don't need to bother with all this. I'll tell you. Just... Oh, goodness. Give me a second,
just start talking.
Wow. The other horde I was talking about, do you remember? Think on it for a second.
The other horde?
You'll never guess where they're located.
No.
Go on, guess.
No, you don't mean...
Yes.
You tell me that...
They've been camped out there. On top of that bridge for the past 50 years. Nobody knows why or how. Does that line up with your unlifening or whatever you want to call it when you got yourself bit?
Perfectly.
Hey. Would you... Can you give me a minute? Can I at least make myself look presentable?
Nope. No time for that. You and I are gonna have a little chit-chat. And... Sorry, once this body knows what it wants to do, it's just gonna move.
No. Where are you going? You know, this isn't exactly very... becoming.
Oh, get over yourself, Gray Lady. It ain't like that. You said it yourself, ain't nobody alive here to see you anyway. Leave your damn clothes on the ground for all I care.
Wait. Wait, okay? Just wait.
All right. Okay. All right, now let's stop. Stop, body. Come on. Zombie body, son of a bitch. Stop. That's better. Now, let's hear what the little lady has to say.
Look, Richter, I'm aware that our tempers got the best of us, but I do understand what it feels like to be angry. And for what it's worth, I apologize for laughing like that. We can move past this. There's a new goal here. I can show you the way, and once we get there, we can combine the hordes. And with those powers combined, you could be a king. A zombie king. Get everything that you want. And in turn, we get everything we want. Just give me time to pack up my shit take what I want, and then we can move forward. Here's the thing, though. If we just walk, it would take weeks. Maybe we can rig something up to speed along the process. Have your kids carry everything we need? Hell, they could carry me. And if they do, we wouldn't need to stop anywhere nearly as often. Right? I would be up for it. But before we get all that started, I do still need to hear that the deal is on. All I need from you is those exact words. I need you to tell me the deal is still on.
What gave you the impression I was trying to take the deal off the table? I mean, come on, you're coming undone on me after one tiny little fight? Oh my. Look at us. Ain't we a hell of a pair? Bickering like an old married couple. An old fucked up mutant zombie couple. All the strength and cunning in the world and still walking on shaky ground. Insecure wasteland demigods.
Yes, that's all very well and good. Enough with the bullshit. Stop deflecting and say it. Say the exact words and swear it to me.
Oh, you know I can't do this without you, sweetheart. All right. No more games, no more power dynamics, no more getting one over each other in this unholy union of ours. We'll start anew. Put her there. Proverbially, of course. Partner.
Good boy. Now that that's settled.
That's King.
Right. But.
King Richter, I like that.
Yes, King Richter. Hmm? You'll be a very great monarch, I'm sure. But if you are going to be the king of zombies, the king of the wasteland, well, every king needs a queen, don't you think? Just agree. You be the king, I be the queen. Seems like a fair deal to me.
Queen of the dead. Bride to the zombie horde. What a union that'd be. All right. Your Majesty. Let's get this show on the road. Let's go get you a crown.
Well, that seems ominous, doesn't it, listener? I feel that this is the point where we truly turn the corner on the season. The cards have been dealt now, and the stakes are placed. Now all that we've got is to play our hand. Or perhaps it's more appropriate that we're watching others play theirs, aren't we? I mean, it's true that we're different things to different people. Some in this wild wasteland believe you to be a Stormcrow. Others a companion, an angel, or a catalyst for change. Morgan even called you straight out as a gambler, which might seem appropriate given the analogy I just made. I suppose we'll find out exactly what our interference has ultimately wrought soon enough. Could be you're all of these things. Could be that you're none of them. Who's to know what fate is malleable and what is set in stone? This is, of course, your reminder to get out into the internet and leave us a review. Spotify, Apple, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, whether it's on an episode or the show as a whole, I'm pretty sure we see them all. If you have something to say, or even a question to ask, I'm down to read them here in the post credits. Speaking of which, Zach Johnson says, "No, I binged it all in one day." Well, Zach, that's what I like to call a good problem to have. Glad you enjoyed the hell out of the show and that we could bring you some amount of joy, or at least something that you needed on that particular day. Allie says, "Thanks for answering my question. Enjoying the ear candy as we speak. As for today's episode, fantastic. I'm loving all the different survivors we're meeting / creeping around lately. Keep it up. Thanks, Allie. We appreciate that. And I appreciate you stopping by and telling us what you think. There is a risk to letting a story drift back and forth between your main cast and the occasional flights of fancy that we are indulging ourselves in, with Hannah and Callie kind of moored into one place this season, at least for the most part. It seemed like a great opportunity to show some other corners of the wasteland and what's going on out there outside of the scope of our leading ladies. It's funny. Season 1 had Hannah and Callie being very mobile, and Season 2, as it should be pretty clear at this point, is shaping up to have all parties converging on them, bringing the Wild Wasteland to their doorstep, as it were. It's a really fun change of pace when you can do that with a story, and I'm glad that you dig it. Character and world growth all around. Keep the comments coming, listener. We'd love to read yours next month. Episode 25 is going to be pretty wild, as we're bound to pick up where we left off with Mel, Ashley, and Billy fleeing towards a kill zone with a band of raiders hot on their tail. I promise you, you're in for some pretty big surprises with this one.
Hey! An Apocalypse is written and produced by Red Fathom Entertainment and is a proud member of the Fable and Folly Network. This episode was brought to you by the talents of our wonderful cast and crew, all of which can be found in the show notes as well as our official webpage. Just type redfathom.com/hanapocalypse into your browser. We love it if you stop by and fix us up with a follow on socials. Oh, the music featured in our outro and throughout the series has been provided by Velvet Moon and Argle Bargle Studios. You can find us in the wasteland, that is Twitter as @hanapoctical, Instagram as redfathom, and the new frontier that is Blue Sky as @redfathom. Plus, if you like what you hear so far and would like to support the show as well as other future productions like it, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/redfathom. So Patreon is a service that allows you to pitch us a couple bucks on a monthly basis in exchange for some extra materials and content. This includes ad-free early releases, behind-the-scenes info on all Red Fathom projects, and even a semi-monthly lore show where we deep dive into some world-building stuff. Every dollar goes to paying our talent and improving the show. Maybe some comics too, helping us bring stories like this one out of post-apocalyptia and straight into your ear holes. Oh, enough of that. Until next time, listener.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Hi, folks. Let me see if I can sum up Midnight Burger in about 25 seconds.
Really big monster!
Zero irony.
Pardon me, Gloria. Might my husband and I have a word?
The radio is talking to me.
So this is how it ends. Eaten by wolves in space.
There's a pocket dimension in the deep freeze.
This is the stupidest dystopia we've ever been to.
What the hell is that?
Because you're having a cigarette? In 415 million BC.
Where are we?
Space.
Can you narrow that down?
The bad part?
Ava.
Yeah, that didn't work at all.
At the nexus of all things, there is a diner. Look for Midnight Burger on your favorite podcasting app or just go to weopenat6.com.